Hi everyone, and welcome to The Human Behind the Screen. And I'm your host, Shauna Morin. The ways in which we work and scale workforces are changing. No longer are we reliant on physical locations in order to operate as a business or a team. And this shift in building teams and companies is coming rapidly, and businesses are being forced to adapt to what they've always done for years. But what does this mean for the humans behind the screen? How do we bring back that human connection when we primarily work online? In this podcast, we'll be speaking to leaders and experts all over the world to dissect what makes businesses successful at remote working. We'll be discussing the importance of human connection, emotional intelligence, and relationships in an ever-changing virtual world. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Human Behind the Screen. I am your host, Shauna Morin, and today it's just going to be me. It's just going to be me behind the microphone. And if you've listened to any of my other episodes where I've recorded a conversation with myself, where I share some of my learnings and my knowledge, you'll know that I speak about topics that are very relevant, topics that have been presented to me in different ways through the conversations that I've had, through the work that I've done with my clients. And this for me feels very authentic, but it also feels like I'm able to make a greater impact when I'm talking about topics that are relevant to you guys throughout the midst of everything that we're going through. The topic that I want to speak about today is around burnout. I have had today at 10 to 12 in my day right now, I have had 5 conversations already today around burnout. So something was telling me to record this podcast and talk about burnout, in remote teams. If you have been lucky enough to have not experienced burnout before, you know, that's pretty incredible. At the moment, people are experiencing burnout that have never experienced it before. And what does it actually mean? What is the definition of burnout? I don't know. I haven't Googled it, but I'll tell you my definition of burnout. It's when we mentally and physically are so exhausted that we can do no more. It's when stress is so heightened within our minds and within our bodies, we can't find ways forward. That's my definition of burnout. And I want to talk about burnout from the remote working perspective and why it's such an important topic, why it's a topic that we need to be aware of, why it's a topic that we need to tune into and learn about how it can impact us and what burnout means to us, and why as leaders we need to be proactive around this. Most of us and those of us listening have been working from home. Some of you may be new to remote working since COVID-19, but regardless, we all have remote working experience. And yes, there's so many pros and opportunities that remote working brings. Flexibility, different lifestyle, been able to better manage our work-life balance, have time for exercise, have time for family, being free of commutes, the list goes on. But when we strip away that structure that we have been used to, such as commuting to a physical space, doing our job and being able to switch off, when we strip that away and we work from where we live or from where we are, the opportunity to overwork is even greater. So that is proven research. Since we have been in COVID, Mental Health Institute and LinkedIn have completed a survey that says on average, we're working an extra, clocking up an extra 4 days per month in overtime. And I think I mentioned this as well in our time management podcast. So the evidence is there. If you are overworking, if you have experienced burnout, number one, you're not alone. And number two, there are ways forward from this. So that's why we experience burnout. There's a couple of other things and reasons why I feel and I think that a lot of us are experiencing burnout right now. Number one is that psychological safety around our careers, around our jobs, and around financial security. With this pandemic, obviously brings a completely different type of economic climate. And a lot of us, or some of us, may have lost our jobs, know people that have lost their jobs, and maybe are also subconsciously even sometimes afraid of being let go of our jobs. So this psychological safety is really, really important for our leaders and for organizations to start creating for their teams. Because what people are experiencing is that fear, and that fear leads to, I need to do more, I need to work harder, I need to prove myself even further. And we experience this as entrepreneurs as well. You know, the fear that the business isn't going to be there tomorrow, that the clients aren't going to be there tomorrow. Maybe for some of you, COVID's brought a lot of opportunities in the space or the industry that you work in. And the need there is to capitalize on this opportunity, to work harder, to see the opportunity in all of this, to be more productive. So that psychological safety is really important. The second thing, and the second reason why I think a lot of us are burning out, is that we don't necessarily know how to be effective at working remotely. People need structure. It's a proven fact. And anybody can work remotely. There's another thing being effective at remote working. So a lot of people struggle with being effective at remote working. And the fundamental aspect that we need when we work remotely, and the skill, it is an emotional intelligence skill, is self-awareness. We need to be in tune with ourselves. And if you did listen to my time management podcast, which if you haven't, I'd recommend, it will couple nicely with this topic, is that there is no one size fits all for time management, for self-awareness. What I need, you might not need ever. So it's tapping into what do we actually need, tapping into that self-awareness. For example, this morning, I took a call really early, a couple of calls really early. And when I had finished that, I decided that I was going to tick a couple more things off my to-do list. But as I sat there, my brain was a little bit foggy and I thought, I can't really concentrate right now. So I tapped in to what I actually needed at that time. Did it make sense for me to be staring at the computer screen and not actually getting anything done? Or did it make sense for me to go do something else, something that will give me energy, and then come back to it after that? And it worked. I went for a quick walk, I came back, and it was, you know, it was like I had a different brain. The fog had been removed completely. I was able to think clearly. And that's just a very basic example. But what I'm saying is, if we don't have that level of self-awareness, we have let that built up over time, then that causes burnout for us. So building that up, continuing to work, continuing to push through all the time, pushing through the fog, or pushing through to just get more work done and not tapping into what we actually need, over time, that produces a feeling of burnout. So two things there around burnout. So, you know, the psychological safety, current climate that we're in, and obviously the self-awareness aspect. So start tapping into, I mean, around the self-awareness piece, start tapping into what you need on a daily basis. Start tapping into, okay, you know, I've woken up this morning. How am I feeling? What's going on? What's going on in my body? What's going on in my mind? What do I actually need to do this morning for myself? What do I need to do throughout the day for myself in order to feel at my best? It can be something as simple as eating lunch away from your desk, spending 30 minutes cooking yourself a lunch. I worked with a new client today, and he was struggling with burnout. And when we tapped into what he actually needed, self-awareness, habits, routines, it was a case of, you know, waking up and immediately looking at the phone, answering emails, reading the news, which was a hobby for him. Great, but he was reading that on his phone. So that brings me on to the third point, which is healthy boundaries. So once you have those, once you have that self-awareness in play, you know what you need, and you're tapping into that continuously throughout the day. This is not just a once a week thing, right? We can do it once a week, but we need to be tapping into that because we're dealing with ever-changing environments and work and emotions and feelings. So we need to be tapping into that all of the time. So once we've tapped in and we know what we need, then we need to create healthy boundaries around what we need. And the biggest challenge I see now that prevents us from maintaining healthy boundaries is around technology. And it's notifications, over communication, and it's not been able to switch our mind off. So for me, I mean, it's airplane mode, it's do not disturb. I spoke to a friend yesterday. We were talking, having a conversation around this, and you know, one of her best practices is to not have any technology in the bedroom, to actually have an alarm clock in there and leave the phones or the laptop in the office so that she can continue to have healthy boundaries in the morning for herself that set her up for the day based on her self-awareness of what she needs. Hope this is making sense. I hope you're following along on this process. So those healthy boundaries are really important. And I know you might think, oh, I can't do that because I'm needed by my clients, or I'm needed by our customers, or I'm needed by my team. You know, that's a mindset block and an old belief that you have around who you are and what you do and where you're needed. We can't pour from an empty cup. So how are you going to fill your cup up so that you can show up the best version of yourself for everybody else? So this is a win-win situation when you actually start taking your well-being very seriously when you're working remote. It has to always be at the top of your list. I've done this for years. I've worked with hundreds of leaders of remote teams and remote workers. And if you're not prioritizing your well-being, then I can guarantee you that you're not showing up in all of the other areas of your life in the best way you can. And that includes your work. And I can guarantee you it's not sustainable. So, you know, creating those healthy boundaries for yourself, whether it is that 30 minutes in the morning before you start your work day, or whether that is, you know, that half an hour at lunch, or whether it is switching off at that time. I also had another conversation today, one of the other ones I've had, and it was around, yeah, you know, you can just kind of continue to work, and I'm so engrossed in my work and I love it that then I turn around and it's been a 15-hour day. So in this case, you know, when people do love their work, it tends to sometimes not feel like work. I get that. And for those of you that are in that position, I mean, congratulations. That is fantastic that your work is aligning to your personal values. However, you may also experience burnout. I have worked with the most passionate people who love their job, who love working, who love doing what they're doing, and they still experience burnout. So who are you outside of your work? What do you value outside of your work? What sustains you and gives you energy outside of your work? These are the questions that you need to be asking yourself. And again, it's self-awareness and it's creating some boundaries around that. The other thing that is incredibly useful is accountability. And one way that I like to hold myself accountable is by booking non-negotiable appointments. So for example, I will book a spin class at a certain time mid-morning, because I actually work quite early. I'm on calls quite early. So mid-morning, I'll book a spin class or some form of exercise that I can't change. So that holds me accountable to getting out, coming back, you know, showering, getting dressed, having something to eat, time away. So it's doing that, whether it's to meet somebody for a coffee, you know, depends if you want to do that now, whether it's going to a class, whether it is meeting a friend for a socially distant walk, How can you start holding yourself accountable? Who can you have there to hold you accountable in this? So that's really important. In some cases, it could be a family member, right? I mean, my partner, David, is fantastic at holding me accountable. He really is, to not overworking. And he has certain rules that, you know, he constantly maintains for us within a relationship around technology, around healthy boundaries, around, you know, if we're watching a movie, it's no phones. When we're having dinner, it's no phones. At a certain time, we stop talking about work. And actually, you know, he actually is working in his dream job now that he loves. So I'm holding him accountable to this now, which is quite ironic. So we're both having to do that. But it's who can be your accountability partner. You know, my personal trainer doesn't even realize that he's my accountability partner in a lot of cases, to me actually switching off from work, getting out of my head and into my body. It's been a really transformational thing for me and continues to be all of the time. So, so important. Because when we are remote working, we are just in our heads, right? We're not out and about. So that's the other thing. You know, I'm not saying exercise or certain type of exercise for everyone. You know, I'm not an exercising expert by any means, but what I do know for sure is that we do need to get out of our heads and move. We need to move our bodies. So explore ways that you can do that throughout the day. In some cases, it's even taking a short walk or taking a walk and talk meeting. I have a friend who goes on a walk who puts her headphones in and doesn't actually play anything, like just nothing. But for her, it's a way for her to switch off and actually get into her body and to eliminate the noise. Because we do have a lot of noise going on around us. It's noise through communication, it's Slack, it's WhatsApp, it's emails, it's podcasts. You know, I know this is a podcast, ironic, but we have a lot of noise all of the time. So carving out time without noise is a really wonderful thing. So the final thing I want to chat about is, you know, I'm quite aware that there are probably people listening to this that are experiencing burnout right now, or that are, you know, in the midst of it, or feeling that they're getting burnt out. So what can they do about it? Again, it's tapping into that self-awareness. In a lot of cases, when you're at that stage, you might not be able to see the wood for the trees. And you might just need time off. So speaking to whoever it is that you work with, understanding that you do need time off is very important. You need to be able to recuperate, collect yourself, rest your mind, rest your body, get back on track in time. But you need to just give yourself that time. Time is very important. And have those conversations with your team and the people around you to let them know. I don't think it's something that we should ever hide or ever feel ashamed about talking about. I think we all need to speak our truth and speak about where we're at in order for us to ask for help, get the right help, and get better. But then when you are through that, it's about reflecting on how you can prevent that moving forward. And what's the mindset that's going to support you in ensuring that you don't ever get burnt out again? In an entrepreneur's case, it is the guilt. It's the guilt of, I should be doing this. I really should be doing more hours. I really should be focusing on strategy. I really should be taking on more clients. And it's that guilt voice that comes up. I'm speaking on from my perspective, and the so many other entrepreneurs that I work with, this is what happens. It's the guilt that comes up. It's the mindset that we don't have, or that we haven't experienced enough or lived into enough, around asking for help and delegating. I have to do everything myself. I'm the only one that can do all of this. I'm the one that knows best. Nobody will be able to do it like me. Or everybody's too busy. Everybody has their own things going on. I'll just do it. So that's an old mindset that's not going to serve you in preventing burnout. And also reality test that. It's probably not true. You can delegate. There's plenty of people that you can ask for help and they would be willing to help you at the drop of a hat. And there are definitely new ways forward. So just because we have a thought or a belief doesn't mean that it's true. So get good at testing and reality testing, asking yourself, is that belief that I have true? If I say yes, what's the evidence to support that? What's the evidence to support that I am the best person for this particular task? Well, because I can do it, there's actually no evidence to say I'm the best person. What's the supporting evidence against the original thought? Well, the original thought is that I believe that I'm the only person that can do this task and I can do it best. The opposite thought is that actually there are people that can do it better than me and they do have time. Okay, great. What's the evidence to support that? Well, I've just asked X, Y, and Z and they said that they have time. They're actually free this afternoon, which means they've more mental capacity to focus on this and they'll probably actually do a better job because they work closer to a certain department that will be collaborating on this. So that's just an example, right? But I want you to start testing those thoughts and those beliefs. Is that true? So I, believe it or not, I didn't really prepare anything for this conversation today. And for me, that's when it shows up the best. And when I speak from the heart and speak from my truth and the truth of so many others that I connect with on a daily basis all around the world. So I really hope that this podcast helps you. This has been a huge learning for me, even personally, over the last couple of months. I have relocated from Ireland to Vancouver in Canada. It's been something that's been in progress for a long, long time. And through all of COVID and the uncertainty, we eventually made it a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, are just absolutely delighted to be here. Couldn't be happier. But for me as a business owner, you know, my team are based in Ireland. So that's an 8-hour time difference. My family are based there. A lot of my friends, my network. So I've had to learn these lessons around burnout with time zones as the main factor over the last couple of weeks. Now, I definitely didn't get to a stage of burnout, but I was, because I've experienced it and I've worked through it so much as a coach and with my clients, I'm able to spot the red flags. But yeah, the second morning I was here, waking up to 36 notifications on WhatsApp alone, Slack notifications, you know, 50 emails, LinkedIn. I knew that that could potentially turn out in a really negative way, right? So for me, it was around, okay, how can I actually take back control so that I am proactive with my time, not reactive, and that I am setting better boundaries for myself. Now, I do have European clients, right? So I am on calls at 6 a.m. In some mornings, I am on calls at 6 a.m. So I actually am a really good morning person, thankfully. So it actually suits me very well because I'm self-aware. So I know what works for me. I know what doesn't. And for me, it's understanding that after some intense coaching conversations early in the morning, I need to fill back up my cup mid-morning, right? So that includes, you know, a healthy breakfast. It includes a bit of exercise and a bit of walking, maybe meet somebody for a coffee. And I know that that works for me. And I know that I don't work past a certain time when I have early calls. And I can rotate that and I can manage that really well. I also know that before I get on those calls, I need to be in the right mindset as well. But I also know that I don't want to be getting up at, you know, 4:30 in the morning to do my standard morning routine. So it's, you know, 10-minute quick meditation, a juice. I got a juicer. It's amazing. Have a juice. And, you know, get into the space that I'm able to hold the space for my clients and have really meaningful coaching conversations. And they're all my learnings. I also know that in order for me to show up as a leader with my team, that I need to be really organized and I need to plan things in advance and I need to communicate my healthy boundaries and I need to set up ways of communicating and touch points with them so that everybody's kept in the loop. And we need to tighten up our asynchronous communication and our written communication. But on that note, I think that can be the next podcast. However, we are taking a break for a couple of weeks. So we will be back midsummer. There's a new format that we're going to be implementing on this. And we're going to take some time to explore that and delve into that. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks. So don't worry, you'll have another podcast soon and it will be better than ever. But what we really try to do on this show, what I try to do and why I set this up is because of impact. It's because I want to make a greater impact. I mean, don't we all in the work that we do? We want to make a bigger impact, a greater impact on people and their lives. And that's where my work comes from. That's where these conversations come from. In order for us to do that, we have to stay very relevant. And you will have noticed that from the conversations we've had most recently, where we ask everybody to bring an insight and their biggest blocker and their challenge. And we speak around that because this authenticity, this vulnerability is more important, I believe, than ever before. And for us all to start sharing and talking. So we know that we're not alone in this. So we're going to have lots more of that. We're not going to forget that at all. So if you want to get in touch with me, if you want to talk about burnout on your team, if you're concerned around that, if you're concerned around burnout for yourself, I'm running some really great quick injection sessions of information and strategies around sustaining yourself as a remote worker. And I'm doing that on an organizational level for all employees. So if you are concerned about the sustainability of your team, if you're looking for training programs that focus on sustainability of remote workers by tuning into self-awareness, by tuning into healthy boundaries and mindset and proven strategies that are going to make a difference, then you can contact me. Send me an email, info@operateremote.com. Thank you all for listening. I hope that this has been helpful. I hope that you stay well. I hope that you prioritize your well-being. I hope that you develop even more self-awareness than ever before so you're able to make better decisions, more meaningful action for you. I really do. And yeah, I'd always love to hear from you guys. So any thoughts on this subject, you can also send me an email. And please don't forget to review the podcast. And you can comment in there on Apple Podcasts as well. So take care, enjoy, and mind yourselves. Thanks for listening to today's episode of The Human Behind the Screen. I hope that you found it beneficial and had lots of key takeaways from today's conversation. Head on over to iTunes and don't forget to subscribe and rate this podcast. If you do have any ideas or would like to advertise on this podcast, you can email us directly at podcast@operateremote.com. If you want to learn even more from this podcast and check out the key themes that came up, you can check out our blog at www.operateremote.com/blog. Thanks for listening and talk soon.